Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped. Through his blood,
step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ifechukwu today.
Bless you. And we honor you today. You are God and God alone. We declare your goodness. We declare that your works in our hearts and in our lives, in our families, in your church are marvelous. They are marvelous. They are incomprehensible. And we bless you today. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for bringing us to the end of the month of July. Thank you for what you continue to do in our lives. And I want to especially thank you for Church for Pros. For laying it in our hearts. And inspiring us to set this apart. For you to address specific things. And thank you for leading us on this journey of understanding through financial prosperity and empowering us to prosper financially, because this is your will. We are seeing the difference, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, we have prayed. Speak to us in a special way today. Touch our lives in a special way. We vow to always give you the glory. Let there be such impartation of wisdom. Let there be such impartation of the anointing to create, to multiply, and to sustain wealth. We give you praise. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. Let the church say a very big amen. And give the Lord your biggest clap offering of praise. If it's not big, keep it to yourself. If it's not big, keep it to yourself. Give the Lord your biggest clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone by your side. Shake their hands to the left and to the right. Make sure no one will remain a stranger. Get to know their names. We are on the subject, if you're coming for the first time, Church for Pros is dedicated, especially the July, August, and September. And I said I may continue after September. We are dedicating it to empowering us with the light and the wisdom for financial prosperity as God has designed it. Somebody say a big amen. Amen. And we have looked at where we are now. We are looking at the different means of financial prosperity, and we say there are three different means of financial prosperity, three different sources and three different means of financial prosperity. And we said the first one is what? Okay, now you know we are now back to Church for Pros, so you're in a learning mode and you're going to be talking back to me, right? We said the first one is what? Natural means of financial prosperity. The second one is what? Demonic means.
Of financial prosperity. And then the third one is what? Kingdom means. God's way. God's kingdom. God has a way. God's kingdom means. And my focus has been on the first one, the natural means. And because everybody who will prosper financially on earth, no matter your belief, no matter your race, no matter your gender, no matter the age you are, must know, must master and operate these natural means. Natural means of financial prosperity answers to natural laws. Somebody say natural laws. Every other means, whether the person wants to go and sell his soul to the devil, or wants to use ungodly means, demonic means, or whether the person is a Christian and wants to listen to God and walk with God and walk with the Holy Spirit, every other means, the other two, must, and I said must engage and walk together with these natural laws. Without the natural laws, you will not have natural prosperity in this natural earth. So that's why it's very important, very, very important that we work on it. And we say that there is an ultimate natural law. We are going to teach a whole lot of other laws as we move on, other dynamics of wealth creation and things. But all of them are encapsulated in this one natural law. One ultimate natural law of financial prosperity. Was the law of what? Are you people here? I'll get it today. The law of what? The law of what? Productive and impactful work. And we say it means what? Creating and trading value. Very important. And then we taught us that there are seven dimensions to this natural work. Seven dimensions to this natural work. All of you that remember, what's the first one? Hard work. What's the second one? Dream work. What's the third one? Self work. What's the fourth one? Smart work. What's the fifth one? Teamwork. What's the sixth one? Network. What's the seventh one? Brand work, which is also image work. Praise the Lord. Now, last Sunday, we focused on what real work is. When a man says, I went to work, what does that mean? A whole lot of people work and they go to work. A whole lot of people put in work. But only real work will produce value. Only real work will produce profit. Only real work, real work. What is real work? When you want to define work, what do you call real work? And we showed it last Sunday. I'm going to put them on the screen for us. The first thing first is that work is not activity. So you know what work is not, so you can define what work is. Work is not activity. Work is what? Productive. So if I say that I went to work today, what I'm saying is I was productive today. I have to now ask myself, what did I produce today? It's about products and services. So products you manufacture, services you render that are solutions to human needs, human wants, and human problems. That's what work is. So every time I want to say that I'm working, what I'm saying is I'm being productive. Not that I'm doing something. That you did something doesn't mean you worked. You've got to get that. That you did something doesn't mean you worked. The second thing we say that work is not and work is that work is not valor. You know, valor is needed for success. You need confidence. You need courage. I mean, nobody's going to be very successful without courage. But that you're courageous and you're brave and you have the heart doesn't mean you're walking. Walk is value. Walk is not valor. Walk is value. And what is value? How do you estimate the value of a thing? The value of a thing is the degree of importance accorded to that thing. The degree of importance accorded to that thing. So if you come out and you see trees and they just cut down the trees and you just look at them there, it's valuable maybe for firewood. It's valuable maybe, especially if they cut it in big logs, to place it, to cross a thing. And that's the value. Because work has brought it down. So there is little value. Someone can use it for fuel, for firewood. But another work may be added to the same wood and it turns to furniture. And you notice that the moment I add more work to that particular thing, the value increases. The degree of importance to man increases. So when you look at furniture and firewood, you know the one you're going to buy more. So you spend more on furniture. And then you can even take some of the things that you sawed off the wood and go back and turn it into tissues, into paper, into different things, because work was added to it. So when there is real work, whenever a real work is done on a thing, there must be an improvement of the quality of that thing. If quality is not improving, work is not being done. Let me say that again. If quality is not improving, work is not being done. So whenever you put in work in a thing, the quality must improve. And when the quality improves, it renders that thing more desirable, more valuable, and that's what makes the worker greatly esteemed. That's what makes the worker greatly esteemed. Seest thou a man diligent, skilled in what he does? If you see a man that is skillful, skilled, and puts in the right work, diligent, he will not have his place among mediocres. He will have his place before kings. Kings will seek after him. So that's very important. Somebody say, work is not really valor. Say, work is value. Number three. Work is not planning. I know that we put smart work as a dimension of work, and it takes planning to get to where you're going to. But when you stop at planning, you've done nothing. No work is done. Work is progress. So I call planning preparation for work. That's the mindset I have. We've had people who've been planning to, working on. As we meet somebody, what's going on? He said, I have this idea, I'm working on it. Nothing irritates me like that statement. I'm working on it. No. Don't tell me I'm working on it. Tell me I have this idea, and it's quite huge. This is the idea. Last month, I started here. Now I have done this. This month, I want to now do what? This. There must be progress being made. I saw myself many years working on different things. I opened my system, opened my books, and I'll see different. If you look at the plans, and the point is, the more plans you make, the harder to execute. What I said now is very serious. There is a paralysis that comes with too much what? Analysis. There is a paralysis. There's one thing you know about mediocres in any field. They have big plans. But one other thing you know about outstanding successes in any field is that they know that one step of action is bigger and better than many plans. It's about execution. I think it's Nike that has that slogan, just do it. Powerful. One of the most powerful phrases you meet in terms of financial success. So we didn't say don't plan, and you should plan very well, because smart work is very important. It's a dimension of work, and we've worked on that. But don't stop at planning. If you took a whole month to plan and made no step, you've not yet worked for that month. Until you start taking the steps of your plan, you're not yet working. I want you to note that. I know many people are going to argue against this, because there are people who say careers have been made just planning on how people should do things. Careers have been made just planning on how people to do things. But that's not true. No career has been made just planning. Those people you have to put up an office. They have to build a system, build a company. They have to go for proposals and different things. You know, they have to vie for the jobs. There's a whole lot of things that went on before you can now call them and say, consult. I'm consulting you. And they now come to just analyze. And even with what they're analyzing, they have to study a whole lot of things. They have to be certified, go through programs. They were taking action. Somebody say action. Start moving your plans into progress. Progress means movement. There has to be movement. There has to be advancement to a higher and better developed state. So every time you put in work, you're going to move something from the state where it is to a higher and a better developed state. That's what work is. Very important. Wave your hands if you're here. Come on, say, I hear. And the fourth thing we told you is that work is not believing. Work is building. And especially for those of us who have been taught in the school of faith, you make sure that you appropriate faith rightly dividing the word of truth, that you don't get to a place where your concept of faith becomes detrimental and destructive to your progress in life, because people just sit down and once they just feel like I'm believing for this, it means they are doing something about it. No. I'm believing God for, okay, so what did you do today about what you're believing God for that will get you closer to what you're believing God for? What will you do tomorrow that will get you closer to what you're believing God for? I've always taught you that for every prayer you make, you must participate in the answer. Did you remember that? Wave your hands if you're getting me. Are you understanding that? So what are we building? Work is about forming, developing, strengthening structures to achieve desired results and desired outcomes. You're working on something. You're building something. So if I'm building and putting up a building, after the architects have done the plans and all the structural engineers have done everything, the surveyors have surveyed, they've mapped out, they've done the soil testing, everybody has put up what we should have, and then it's time to execute that plan, now we will have to start digging. You may come out and see nothing except what is being dug right there. We can finish a whole trailer of cement of 800 bags, casting things right in the ground. And you may see nothing. But the point is, we've started building. So each day, I come to that site, and something moves from one level to what? Another. I've not roofed. The finishing has not been done. It is not taken into the, you've not seen the picture of what we are doing, but because whenever I come in, I'm doing something. I'm putting the pillars. I'm adding the beams. I'm laying a block upon another. So far as I'm putting it out, you're going to see the building coming up. So when I look at the structures, things you're forming, things you're developing, I can tell exactly in the next few months, in the next few years, what's going to be happening with your life. So I met somebody some time ago, and I said, I finished my school, and I'm just looking for something to do. I'm looking for work. I said, you're looking for work? He said, yes. I said, what is it? He said, even if it's a teaching job, I just want to be earning some money. I said, do you have a passion for teaching? He said, no, sir. He said, do you have a vision of having a career as a teacher? Because there are people that are created that way, and there are people that that's the passion they are given. And so you can explore the different ways you'll be able to do that in a much more valuable way that will make teaching more valuable. Is that right? There are people who are teaching and are billionaires today. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. I said, do you have? He said, no, that's that. I said, so what are you looking for a job to go teach? You see, for him, getting a work at that moment is to go and find anywhere he can just get anything. I'm just looking for a work. I just go around. Do you people need a sales girl? Do you want to have a career in sales? No. Do you people need this? Do you want, the person is going to that place, coming back, they are paying you this amount of money, and what you're doing is that you're wasting your life. This is my advice. This is how I train people. There are different routes to where you're going. And if you start on this route, it doesn't mean you won't get to where you are. Yes, it doesn't mean, because there are times that things you don't plan for. You didn't even know you're going to be good at. That you start doing it whatever your hand finds doing. It's better than being idle. But for those who are well taught, and for those who already know where they are going, what I say is, better volunteer and be paid nothing. Or be paid very little and find yourself into a space of what you want to spend your life, the rest of your life, what? Doing. And start building your way up. So this is what I ask people. Whenever you tell me you went to work or you're working, I ask you, what are you building? Are you building a business? What businesses are you building? Are you building a career? What career are you building? Every effort you should make, every energy you should expend, every time you should invest in, especially in your youthful age, should be adding as a building towards the ultimate thing you want to become. Somebody say, I hear. Wave your hands if you're getting me. Are you sure? Are you understanding me? So help me ask 3, 4, 5 people by your side. Say, what are you building? You went to God work last week. What are you building? I know what I'm building. Do you know what you're building? Every single hour you put into work, I'm building towards something. There is a vision. There is something I know. There is a concept in my mind of who am I supposed to become, of my purpose, of the platforms I want to use to deploy my gift and serve my purpose to the world. And everything I do is putting a building block, building something to get closer to it. So there are people that are being paid 300,000 naira, 400,000 naira every month as the money to use to forget. Let me not go there. You've sacrificed the vision of who you're supposed to become on someone paying you salary. And you forgot. And salary is important. Everybody is not created and gifted as a pioneer of businesses. I hope you're hearing me. Everybody can do business, but not everybody is fitted in their disposition, in their personality, in their temperaments, in their makeup, in their purpose. There are people that work better when they are not the number one person. And there are people that have what it takes to take the pressure of number one person. So there are entrepreneurs and there are intrapreneurs. You must know yourself. But whatever it is, even for people who are career persons, you must know the economical components. You're going to know the entrepreneurial side of your career. And you must know how to get to the peak of it. Transacting your way up, you have to know. Trading values until you get to the top. There has to be something you're building. Something you're building. And it has to be very clear. Those who don't know this become the laborers and the slaves of those who know. Then the fifth one, we told you, work is not effort. What did I say? Come on, talk to me now. Shout louder. 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 Work is not effort. What is work? Work is effectiveness. Another statement I don't like. I tried my best. I told you, if it were your best, it would have worked. It didn't work because it wasn't your best. That's a language of the lazy. The scripture said the righteous fall 7 times and what? Gets up back. So that you try something and it doesn't work doesn't mean you have worked. You stand up again and probe why it didn't work. And you learn and then you change and then you get back again and you do it again. Until you find a way to make it work. My father, seeing me, coming to visit me, the church was starting. It was the early days of our ministry. And we started with about 4 people, so we were just a few in number. And because I have very strong convictions of certain things in the scripture, I wouldn't even ask my neighbors for seats, to borrow seats. And you know, I've told you the story of how we started. And we had this hostel that were a 3-bedroom flat. I was in one room. I had the other 2 rooms, my neighbors. The sitting room was vacant, so I talked to them if we can use the sitting room to start, and they allowed us. So because I wouldn't even go to borrow seats, I went. All I had were cartons, and we used cartons, and we would put it on the floor. People will sit on cartons. That's how this church started, because I wouldn't borrow. I always said we will lend, and we will never borrow. Until this day, this church owes no man a dime and borrows no dime from any man. You better give God praise. Now, this is a church. If you have a business, we're going to talk about debt things. And we're going to talk about that later. So let me focus. Now, it's very, very important. And one of the days, my father came to visit me. And, you know, we didn't have cell phones then like we have today. And it was just coming. And then he just shows up and saw us in a meeting and saw people sitting. My mother told me later, he went home and started crying that the son he sent to school, this is what he wants to do with his life, the brightest of all his children. This one he made the most sacrifice. He sent me to Mary's Brothers Juniorate. The school fees then, if you know MBJ Uturokiwe, and if you know, he could borrow money to pay the fees. He wanted me to be, I was the shining star of his family. And this is what I said I want to do with my life. So he confronted me and we talked about it. He was really concerned. And then he said something to me. He asked a question. He said, what if it doesn't work? Because for a father, that's all he's thinking. Will you be able to take care of yourself? And will you have money to take care of me and my and your mother? And everybody wants his children prosperous. Every father thinks about the financial, you know, whatever of his children. Very important. And so he asked that question. And I smiled. He said, what if it doesn't work? I said, Dad, let me tell you something. When I answered the call, the Lord gave me 14 confirmations that he's called me. That I'm not just moving because I'm zealous to go and work for God. He said, I crossed the bridge and I burnt it. There is no retreat. There is no surrender. He said, I burnt the bridge. I don't have an alternative and I'm not going back to anything else. So he now asked again, so what if this thing now doesn't work? And I know why he was saying it, because I'm coming from a family where they've seen pastors, you know, and let me leave it there. And he was very concerned. Are you not going to be like this? Is this what will become of your life? And I told him, I said, if it doesn't work, watch what I've said. I will walk it until it works. Walk is walking a thing until it works. You have to find a way to make that thing work and become effective. So that you try something and it didn't work doesn't mean you walked. So somebody said, but I walked now. I did it. I tried it, but it didn't work. That's the wrong mindset. And there are two major things that are very important when you're walking. The first thing first is to probe your failures. Why did this not work? The second thing is to probe your successes. Whenever what you do works, once what you do works, probe it immediately. Why did it work? So when you probe it, you can now establish self-sustainable systems with what worked so it can continue working. People are not able to repeat their successes because they treat success as an event. They just celebrate it and walk away from it. No, every time what you do works, ask yourself, what did I do? Because there are certain times you just stumble into things. You ask yourself, what did I do to make this thing work? What worked here? What worked here? What worked here? So you establish self-sustaining systems. I wasn't here in the first service. I wasn't here in the second service. They all ran very well. This coming month, I'll be traveling. I'll be mostly outside of Oka. Next month, I'll be mostly outside of Oka. Next year, more than half of the year, I'll be outside of Oka. It's going to increase more and more and more and more. And then I'll start moving out of the country. What is work? What I'm doing now is to probe everything I'm doing now. How is it working? Then I'm creating, not that I'm creating now. Now we are modifying our systems, working on it. The pastors know that's what we are doing. For you to run a successful ministry, there are 12 health systems you must run. 12 health systems. We call it the church health systems, 12 of them. And so I'm working with them. They've been with me for some time now. We will spend the whole day working on establishing, remodifying those systems, putting and documenting them, then building the structures that will run those systems. Why? So when I'm not there physically, it can keep producing the same results and even better results, making the same impact and even better impact, and leading to profitability. You have not yet worked until what you do is effective enough that when you're not there, it can run by itself. That's your aim. That's what you must aim at. Wave your hands if you're getting it. Come on, say, I'm getting it. Come on, say, I'm getting it. And then the next thing we told you, work is not, and what work is. Number 6. Hold your neighbor. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear this one, though. I'm not hearing you. Say, hear this one. Oh. Read to that neighbor, one, two, go. I'm not hearing you. Read again. One more time. I need you to read that again. One more time. Work is not frivolity. Work is fruitfulness. When it comes to work, there must be increase, not just in quality, but in quantity. The numbers may vary at different times, not be so consistent at different times, but you have a periodic evaluation, whether you want to evaluate monthly based on the consistency of what you do, or you want to evaluate quarterly if that thing is not too consistent, or you want to evaluate biannually. No matter what you do and how often it happens and how you want to evaluate your progress, when you evaluate averagely, there must be increase in number. If it's not increasing in number, work is not yet done. It's not yet done. There must be multiplication. There must be saturation. There must be expansion. In the beginning, God planted a garden called Eden. He himself planted it. Then he created man, formed him out of dust, and placed him in that garden. And said, now, keep it, tend it, dress it, walk on it. I give you everything in this garden. If you want more of it, I've put seed in every herb. I've put seed in every tree that bears fruit. There is seed. Every animal, seed. So if you want more, don't talk to me. You now have ability to create like me. And that's your dominion over seeds. What you do with your seeds determines how you recreate your world, your seeds. What did I say? I'm not hearing you. Again? Again. So don't talk to me. Use the seeds. And then, when he was through creating that man, he empowered him. And that's what we call the blessing, the empowerment of God. And he said, be fruitful. That's how he blessed him. Be fruitful. So any man that claims blessing, the blessing, any man that claims to be blessed and claims that the blessing is upon his or her life, if you do so, what you're saying is that I'm empowered to be fruitful. It is impossible for a blessed man to walk and there is no fruitfulness. It's impossible. There is a multiply, which is another level, exceeding fruitfulness. There is exceeding fruitfulness. Multiply, one degree, one level. Multiply, then he says, saturate, fill the earth. Expand. Don't stay in one spot. Don't remain in Jerusalem. Take the gospel to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. Every time God is at work, he wants expansion. Everything that blesses upon must multiply and expand. To stay in one spot doing the same thing for 10 years, for 15 years is not God's plan. It means work is not being done. Work is not being done. There must be fruitfulness. Mr. Mecca, Aram. You know the reason people stay in one spot? And they want to keep being there. And once they start enjoying a level of success, they remain there. And there is no longer fruitfulness. Do you know why? Because they have no vision for expansion. They have no vision. So they stay there. The authentic visions that rules your heart. Because the thing about vision is that you are the one that cultivates it. You are the one that first of all starts creating it. But after you finish creating it, vision takes over you and now possesses you. It's not really man that possesses vision. It's vision that possesses man. It takes over you and starts moving you in the direction of what you have seen. Authentic visions in the hearts of a man will make you uncomfortable. You won't be at ease in your present prosperity. It will elevate your appetite. It will increase your appetite and fuel your pursuit for more. That's what vision does. Fear motivates you to reach out for more. Because it keeps calling you that there is more than what you're seeing now. And so while everybody else is clapping for you, that you have killed your thousands, vision will be telling you there are tens of thousands in you. You go there and you expand. You conquer tens of thousands. And people are saying, oh, this is even more than we anticipated. This one, he has landed. The vision starts calling you. There's hundreds of thousands in you. Why people are clapping for hundreds of thousands? Vision starts calling you. There is a million in you. So it never let you camp at where you used to be. Until you start planning for more, you can't become more. Until you start planning for more, you can't become more. Sit down, sir. That's very smooth. You know that. So work is not frivolity. We just sit down, we talk. For example, my wonderful choir, you are doing well. And you're looking good. Sit down. All of you in the music ministry. And, we get to that place where after all this work, we made a plan, we made this, we made that. What did you produce this year? See all the night videos you're doing? Nonsense. Activity. How many songs did you write? How many songs that were written did you improve on? That even when the person who wrote it and sang it will hear it, the person will immediately want to feature you. The person will begin to mention you on their handles and say, how can I get to know these people? How many? How did you multiply? How did you expand? And somebody can have, like these ones, they can have all night twice a year. It's where your eyes are. There is something, a skill I mastered when I used to trek. Hey God, nobody could trek like me. I could trek. There was a skill I mastered. When I start trekking, I'll use my mind and I'll just tell myself, that building there, that's where I'm going to. I'll fix my mind on it. It cuts the journey short. Then I'll walk. When I reach there, I'll fix my mind on another thing. I'm seeing master trekkers. They are saying, yes, yes, yes. Hello. Usain Bolt ran 100-meter sprint, right? Also ran 200-meter. The same Usain Bolt. When he knows he's going to stop at 200 meters
and he knows that's what is running. If he crosses 100 meters, does he stop? So do you notice that if he knows he's going to do 100 meters, the moment he crosses the line, what happens? You feel like work is done because of the vision and your plans. If your vision is to sing in church, every time you finish singing in church, work is done. And the person will now be saying, Father, my quantum leap. The Lord said, quantum leap where? Do you want more services? You want me to add sixth service? Because everything you're planning for is for service. Then you're leaping to nowhere. If you leap into the air, you come down. There is no destination. There is nothing you're walking towards. Every of your energy is for just a short-term thing. I'll give you a scripture and then we will stop for today. But before I do that, I want to read the six things I gave you. What's the first one? Now ask your neighbor, were you writing? Now read what you were writing and read out to me. One to go. Work is what? Apart from those who are coming for the first time that don't know our culture of writing, anybody else you notice that is not reading, tell him, you not say you no work today. No work done. Because after you leave here, you won't remember everything I said. Is that thing on your notes, the thing you put down that you can go back on, study again? Study to show yourself a workman that needs not to be. So without the studious diligence, if you're not, without studious diligence, you have to face shame in that area. You want to master, you want to excel in any area. So make sure you're, so the first thing we said we should write is what? I'm not hearing you. Number two. Value. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. Stand on your feet. Walking or running, they find where you're going. The labor of fools frustrates them. So if you've not defined what you're building, define it this week. That's your first work. What am I building? You're a career-oriented person. What's the peak of the career you want? And every tree has branches. So you don't do one thing. Whatever you do has connections to other things. Define it. What are you building? You're here, you're an entrepreneur. You're the risk taker that wants to pioneer things and break, take the pressure. Do what you got to do. What are you building? Define it too. Don't just say anything. I find anything. No. What are you building? You're going to come into opportunities that you didn't plan for. Shout a big amen. Amen. You're going to come into information that you were not studying for, that you were not expecting. That will change the game for you. That will amplify what you do.
You're going to be exposed to things you never thought of, you were not even aware of. But you see, it takes moving towards a direction for doors to keep opening for you. You must know where you're going. The plan of the heart belongs to man. God doesn't plan for you. Stop waiting for God. Then God directs his steps. So when the Lord was teaching me, he said, I direct the steps of a man with a plan. So there is no direction for a man without a plan that doesn't know where he's going. Make up your mind. Where are you going? What are you building? In the next 10 years, all things being equal, the favor of God, the grace of God working for you, the mercy of God speaking for you, the blessing of the Lord prospering you, what will you want to have achieved? What will you want to have become? Define it. Stop wasting time. For life naturally on earth is time. The man who wastes time is not just wasteful, he's committing suicide. There is time to begin with whatever your hand finds to do. But there is another time to define where you're going. That's another level. So if I'm going this way, I can now evaluate where am I, and I'll be honest with myself. There is he that appears to be rich and has nothing, but there is he that appears to has nothing but has servants. So I'm not going to be proud. There'll be no assumption. Data derived evaluation. I evaluate where I am. What's my assets? What do I have that is bringing money to me? Right now, I want to evaluate it. So you value them and you put it down. What's my present income? How many streams brings money to me? You define it. You do it. What am I doing now? At what level, skill-wise, how far am I from where I am to where I want to be? Define it. This is serious work. That's the smart work we are telling you about. When you finish, this is where I am. This is where I want to be. So what do? From where I am, no excuses, no blame, requiring no aid or support. With what I have, because there is always something in my hands. You don't have money, you have relationship. You don't have relationship, there is a level of skill you have. There is always something in your hands. Never think you're without capital. Never think. God never leaves a man without a seed. Are you hearing me? And then from where I am, with what I have, I'm going to start doing my best. But the best is going to be different. It's going to be a plan. Every step I take should be getting me closer to where I'm going. And I'm going to see it. So if I choose to be employed, I'll be employed in a field that will take me closer to this. If I choose to do a business, I will start a business that is somehow related. This and this. For example, somebody who wants to own a farm can start learning how to distribute eggs. And create a marketing distribution network, because whatever you're producing, we need it. So there are things that may not be in the same field, but they are all related. Every tree has branches. And then I start walking When I finish every day, I ask myself, what did you produce today? What did you add to what you're building today that is taking you closer each day to where you're going? And I walk my way up. You must love the idea of work. You must value work. You must embrace the concept of work. And you must understand that work is not just making effort. Because that's what's frustrating people. A lot of people are making efforts, but nothing is working. And you know the most lazy thing for Christians to do? There is a cause somewhere. They start looking for who to kill. The most lazy thing, you blame it on the devil. Yeah, baraka. This is not normal. The most lazy thing. So we've talked. This is where I want you to, because I'll see you at work today. One of the things in time management is never treat time as a whole. When you finish with church, what will you do with your evening? Don't say, I went to church today. No, I went to church between this time and this time. The remaining time. I don't tell people I'll see you in the morning. The morning is 6 hours. That's too expensive. I tell people, see me by 8. And you have a window. If you come by 8:15, you won't see me. Because I have other things I have to do within that time. You see me, we are going to see by this. And if anything happens and something shifts, I have to call you. I'm sorry, excuse me, we'll reschedule. I want to see you at work today, not tomorrow. If today is your day of rest, it's work. Rest well. Tomorrow you wake up, I want to see you at work. After all this said, what matters is what you do. Never forget what we're about to read. Hold your neighbor and read to your neighbor. One to go. I'm not hearing you. Again. Again. But idle chatter is to go. He who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. But when you apply yourself to work and you receive the concept of work, work doesn't deteriorate you. Work improves you. Work upgrades you. God bless you. Now let's give God praise mightily. Let's give God praise mightily. Let's give God praise mightily. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Lift your hands. Do you want me to bless you today? I have a blessing in my mouth. Raise those hands towards the heavens. I release the blessing of the Lord upon you. And I pray over you that the Lord, my God, establish the work of your hands. Bring to fruition the labor of your souls. Yes, that the Lord perfect all that concerns you. In any area where the limitations of the natural may prove inadequate, I decree and declare the blessing be more than enough for you. What limits others won't stop you. The decay and the corruption, the frustration that is at work in creation will not stop you. All things are working together for your good. Everywhere you've been frustrated, Lerun Zekandaya, I pronounce your release now. Whatever has held you back, held you down, that hold is broken to death now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, I can't be stopped. Say, I am blessed of the Lord. Say, I prosper in all that I do. Say, I excel by the Spirit of the Lord. Say, because I have an excellent spirit, therefore I excel in the name of Jesus. Let me hear you shout your loudest amen. Today is Thanksgiving Day. Give the Lord a mighty praise.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.